You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater Show. This is Reagan, aka the Man Hater, even though I don't hate men. And
I am Chesco, also known as Mr. Pick Me, even though I've already been picked. Fingers crossed I don't mess up this time. I think we're a little bit off topic here, and I want to get back on track.
And oh my God.
Welcome you all to our amazing radio show that nobody can see video of. And for some reason, Reagan is just messing up this intro after I did a perfect thing. I think you're taking my joke a little bit too to heart here. And I think we just need to move on and start the episode. What do you think?
Gosh, I sure love visual pranks on
an audio podcast.
Anyway, needs to know, Chesco has decided Chesco has decided to bring out his tiny hand finger puppet things. And yes, he is now scratching his beard with these tiny hands. So, God dang it.
They fit on my fingers. They're really cool.
I thought we had it. And then the hands emerged. That's horrifying looking.
If you want to see this, go to our YouTube. And
he has at least 4 sets of tiny hands. The fingers crossed one is too much, truly.
I got that in my Easter basket. So blame my wife.
No, I shall not. I shall blame you.
Just kidding. We should never blame her for anything that I do that's stupid.
You know, that's true.
It's true. That was being genuine. Reagan, are you ready for our episode?
I don't know.
Can you compose yourself?
Can you keep your tiny hands to yourself, please?
Not the first time that sentence has been said to me.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure you have ginormous hands.
I do have big hands. Like catcher's mitts. For the record, not true. Let's talk about some really terrible dating advice today. Theme song.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for you. No, you don't.
Are you gonna pay for my therapy? Because that was so much just then.
Our listeners will love it.
Yes, they will love the tiny hands they cannot see. I need to stop being so hopeful with these intros because I really thought
I carried us that time
with your tiny hands.
They carried us with their tiny hands.
So dumb.
For the record, it actually genuinely was my wife's suggestion to use the hands.
I can't believe she's betrayed me like this.
I know she was like, you should use the hands in the intro.
I'm gonna have to text her later.
Getting hard. We're like 50 plus episodes into this. I have to be creative new ways to ruin our podcast.
Or just let it go well. Imagine.
I did that on our 1 year anniversary.
Oh, you know what you sound like? Weaponized incompetence. On our anniversary, I did it right, okay?
That's
What,
true.
you want me to do it more than one day a year?
That's
Please.
as good as I get. The funniest thing is, I put way more effort into messing it up than it's so I'm actually working harder to mess this. I guess that is weaponizing confidence because it is more work oftentimes to be. But this is for the fans.
Oh, at my expense.
Is it at your expense? You were laughing. Were you angry?
I
You, after the podcast is over, do you leave? I'm like, yes, this is the last time. Never
tell.
again.
Wife, you will not believe what this man has done to
Golly,
me.
this mother, he has these little hands.
That's exactly how the conversation would go. I'd be like, you will not believe this. Guess what he had? Oh, that was going great, and all of a sudden, these tiny hands enter frame, and then I look like the idiot or sound like the idiot. It's
I
fine.
will be interested to hear how that sounds on just audio, where it's just you start cracking.
You love when I look bad, even though you've done it.
Well, it's rare that I'm the one that looks good on this podcast. So let's go ahead and listen to that video. That video.
Let's get that video now. Okay, I'm
Ah.
gonna hate this. I can already tell by the look of this
You
man.
will
His pants are
absolutely.
too tight. He has too many buttons down on his button down. The haircut is confusing to me, and he has a large, bushy man beard. There's a lot going on there for me. Personally, as a lesbian, I don't need to see all that from him. Thank you. Okay, let's do this.
All right, guys, this is interesting. When you're ready to find a woman, in our culture, you know, we tell our mom or our sister, you know, I'm ready, and they start shopping around and looking for a bride for you. The best place to send your sister or your mom is not to a wedding. You know, that's the worst spot to try to find a woman because all the makeup and the fake eyelashes and the cover-up and all that, you know, you're not gonna get a real woman over there. You know where the best spot is? To find a real genuine lady at a funeral. You'll see her natural beauty there. You'll see her natural instincts, her well-being. I've been to, sadly, a lot of funeral ceremonies, and you know, sadly, there's girls over there. You can smell their perfume all the way outside before you even come inside, and their lashes are about to touch their lips, and you know, all decked out. Come on, you know, and they're not even there from the heart. If at a funeral home she's dressed to impress. All right, guys, a little tipper.
There's an eagle yell and a lion's roar at the end.
A lot to unpack.
This literally was a theme in Wedding Crashers, where the lowest of the low was funeral crashing.
And being now offered, and it's a great example about how parody has now died.
R.I.P. But he can pick up girls at Parody's funeral, so there you go.
This is quite literally a video I would make mocking these dating coaches. Like if I was doing it as like a satirical, you know, this is the issue. I have a Substack, right? And I made a video, or not video. I made a wrote an article from the perspective of Jordan Peterson, explaining why he's never been able to give a woman an orgasm, and blaming women. And I thought it was so over the top. And people were reading it and getting mad at Jordan Peterson because it was
I
so
saw.
believable. And I was like, no. It's meant to be a comedy. It's a joke because
It's a
this is
joke.
so. And they're like, no, this sounds exactly like something he would say. And I'm like, and this is where we're at. This is where we're at.
There's so many layers of horrible. So, like, number one, a man forcing his mother and his sister to find him a woman. Okay. Next layer, he calls it shopping. Shopping for a woman because she is an item to find and purchase. Then he's saying women aren't like real women when they wear makeup and lashes.
You're not seeing the real them.
Okay. And then he's mocking the way women dress at funerals. So, like, you can't even mourn. You can't just even mourn because you have to be worried about men picking you up or judging you for your perfume at a literal funeral. Oh, your mom died? Sorry, maybe you shouldn't look so for the streets, as these men like to say, with your lashes.
My favorite thing is, this is not the only video where you see videos of guys that are completely shocked and appalled by seeing what a woman looks like without her makeup. And they're just admitting that they've literally never seen a woman in the morning.
What you're saying is you've never been with a woman, really. Like, these men don't have, like, hair pieces. It's like, come on, why don't you get in the pool also?
Right, right.
Greg, go for a swim.
I'm wearing makeup right now. My beard is male makeup, right? Yeah. It is a socially acceptable way of me to adorn my face with something to give me a stronger jawline, right? And to make me look a very specific way. Yes, it's naturally grown, whatever, but it's still a very specific thing I have done on my face to make me appear in a very specific way. I don't dye my hair. Many of these guys are absolutely dyeing their hair to give the appearance of them looking younger than they actually are.
Taking some steroids. I mean, he looks like he's had a hair transplant. Maybe not.
And there's nothing wrong with gender affirming care like that, which is what it is.
Don't not tell that them ever that. Admit that.
Don't let them know that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Actually, we should tell them that, because then maybe they'd give a shit.
Yeah, I know. But it's when you are doing all these things, right? When you are literally in the case of, like, you know, getting a hair transplant, spending tens of thousands of dollars at some point, depending on what kind you're getting, then all of a sudden, or at the very least, taking Rogaine or the pill, whatever. Or I forgot what they're called. There's another thing for it. But, like, whatever they're doing all these sorts of things to literally become the body that they want to be, that makes them feel better about being a man or more like a man, and then judging women for literally doing the exact same thing, but in a way that they disapprove of.
Yeah, but if they showed up barefaced and not dressed up, they'd get critiqued for that. He'd say that a woman isn't trying hard enough. Like, also, why is your mother shopping for your wife? What does that mean? Like, that is insane to me. Like, you can't even get your own. Like, what is that? What does it mean? Well, like, I need to know. Like, does it mean like, oh, I see her, I'll get her number, I'll hand it to my son, and then they'll meet up. Like, if I was at a freaking funeral and a elderly woman approached me and was like, hey, I have a hot young son, if you want.
I have a hot young 52-year-old son.
I know you're bawling your eyes out because you've just lost your brother. But I think he would want to take you on a date. Just don't do the lashes, okay? I know your mascara might be running because you're sobbing, but just to be clear, he doesn't like that.
I have to say, you're quite becoming without makeup on, right?
Keep it. Cry it off, girl. Yeah, I think I would be like, absolutely not. And that's horrifying that you asked. Yep. Take advantage of women's trauma. Great. Right.
I think it goes back to, and like, is it possible in a world where your mother is in a situation where there's someone that might fit for you? Sure. That could end up being something, right? But what I think is the underlying thing here, and this is, you can't ignore all of the other messages these guys spread, right? It's this going back in time to this idea of like finding someone to gift your son, right? Like of like negotiating with another family. You know, it literally is hinting at this idea of taking away the woman's agency in who she wants to be with, instead offering up your son, the gift of my son's marriage, right, to be with you. Wouldn't you be thankful for that?
And he talks about how in his cult there's some culture things going on, so I don't know what that means for him, if that's something that's more culturally acceptable, because I know certain cultures there is a lot more involvement with like moms and the women, like kind of picking or like introducing on some level, but just the idea that like the guys listening to this probably don't have a mom and sister that they can send to do this. So it's going to be them at funerals. If they listen to this advice, they don't have somebody to do that. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be prowling at funerals. And then like, they're mad at us for saying that men have like bad intentions or ill intentions. You're literally going to funerals to pick up women.
Mm-hmm.
At their most vulnerable.
I want to see the relationship that began by getting picked up at a funeral. I want to see the...
We've been together for 50 years, and I remember when I was sobbing, and he walked up to me, and the smell of... What is that called?
Of cologne?
No.
Formaldehyde?
Formaldehyde was in the air.
Now every time I smell formaldehyde, I think of our first meet.
Our first kiss.
I had my hand in the casket, and he put his hand in there, and our hands gently caressed.
And we were holding Gam-Gam's hand.
That's when I knew he was the one I wanted to be. Yeah, that's what I knew. I needed to call for help.
What's sad is, prior to so much social media, I really do think there are these interactions and chance meetings that happened that people felt were genuine. Like, right. I'm sure it's happened that a woman has been mourning and met someone and then been like, oh, this is a sign or this is a gift. And Absolutely. It's like, no, this was a dude that was on the prowl. Mm-hmm.
And there is a difference, though, between happenstance, where you both happened to be there, and as bad as the situation was, you felt a connection with somebody. I'm not here to judge that. It versus going there thinking, I'm going to find my wife here. This is where, ooh, someone died. Jackpot.
I've been looking for a girlfriend.
Did you know him well? I knew of him.
I saw him in the paper. Yeah, I saw an obituary.
Somebody I'd seen before.
His photo.
We went to university together. We didn't have any classes together.
He was 84 and you're 20. I'm older than I look, actually.
Pretty sure we met at least once.
I have Benjamin Button disease. How delusional do you have to be to literally be talking about picking up women at funerals and thinking you're in the position to be judging them? Like, as long as they don't have too much makeup. I know I'm literally prowling at a, you know, around a dead person, but you better not have lashes on, girl, because
that's the thing that he should, that's the clearly the worst possible thing happening in this scenario.
That's the gross part. Everything else is fine. Like, there's a dead body in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, ladies.
What's sad to me is that I'm not shocked by him giving this advice anymore. Like, this would have been, if I had heard this 10 years ago, I would have shared this as a goof. Like, oh, look at this funny comedian.
It's literally Wedding Crashers. Will Ferrell, they're Wedding Crashers, and then they meet Will Ferrell, who's the lowest of the low, and the low point in the movie for Owen Wilson is when he crashes a funeral, and he's like, you know what, I've hit rock bottom right now, truly. Mm-hmm. And yet this guy's like, no, this is the height of
He's like, love. Wait, he was onto something here.
Will Ferrell? Wait a second.
Hold on.
I love him. Oh, God. And again, it's so sick because there's, you know, they're not mentioning, like, clearly you're going to be weaponizing grief. Undoubtedly.
Yeah, I want to see real quick if anybody actually, and I didn't look at the comment section.
Somebody's comment is, the podcast host and the guest, by the way, he's talking to himself.
Someone quoting in the comments, grief is nature's most powerful aphrodisiac.
Oh my God, horrifying what you just said. Someone put the gif of Will Ferrell at the funeral saying, damn you, Roger. Oh my God, and he liked it.
Yeah, someone pointed out, this is the plot of the 2005 in Wedding Crashers. This is a good one. This guy would go to a funeral hit on girls.
I know. There's a lot of people being like, bro, you're sick.
At the very least, there is a fair amount of people calling him out. This is not a wildly popular, but he is I think this guy has, he has over 200,000 followers on Instagram, which is not a small feat.
There's a sad reality going on here. We're like, obviously sad for anyone who had to listen to that, but like, this guy setting up a fake podcast. So he's making it look like he's on a podcast, but he's by himself, like angling himself like there's somebody else. He sets up his mic. He's filming himself talking about picking up girls at funerals and thinking he's cool. And he calls it a tipper. I don't know if you caught that. Just a little tipper for you. Like a tipper.
God. Next week's episode will be about finding a mugwai and not feeding it after midnight, or else you... Here's what I'm struggling. I'm trying to think of worse advice you could give. And I can't, it literally is just, this is where we're at.
I would say, you know, you can always look for a boat that's going down, and then the women will just have their arms outstretched.
And but I think that's the next step, is taking the, like, going to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and just doing the dentist advice. They're going to be taking notes.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
Here's a scary thing. Let's get real for a second. If given the opportunity, how many men would reject taking advantage of a situation like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like where a woman is like in distress in some way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of stories I've heard deal in the woman was in distress already.
Mm-hmm.
And then a man came upon her in that state of distress and then right. took advantage of it. You know what I mean? Not to be a downer, yeah. But I am going to be, per use. But it's so true. Like this is a big downer. There's a content creator named Stacy who talks about she was attacked by a man. Mm-hmm. And then another man found her and like was supposedly going to take her to take care of her and was attacked by that second man. Like wow. This shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
And making it seem like it's dating advice is so harmful. Cause like, where's mm-hmm. the line? So you're like, okay, I'm being advised to take advantage of women in grief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, am I going for women who are sobbing? Can it be any mm-hmm. grief? Could it be anything horrible's happened to them? What if mm-hmm. it's like financial? Maybe I could take advantage of that. Like, mm-hmm. what if they really need help? Then mm-hmm. maybe I could use that to my advantage, since we're using stuff to our advantage here, right? Like, it mm-hmm. just goes into, you know, I think we talked about this in the pre-show. It's like you're starting at one place, but when you go further down, you're in a really scary place. And like, you're seeing mm-hmm. the tip of the iceberg here of what mm-hmm. these men really think.
It's like once you open yourself up to doing these type of things that we can laugh at, that we can be like, oh, sure. That's so weird. That's so silly. That's so odd that someone would say this. The next step, it's like, okay, well, they're going to be open to doing other right. things and pursuing other things that are
slippery slope.
Far less funny. And it's, I don't want to say it's every single guy is going to end up doing horrific things, but the reason you have to critique these things and talk about these things, which we talked about in the pre-show, is because of the fact that it's not about every single guy that listens to this is going to end up being horrific mm-hmm. or end up doing much worse things, but enough can and will. Yeah. And that's a reason why you need to cut these things off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You just cover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.
From the start.
Well, and also if someone subscribes to this ideology, there may be some deficits in who they are that allow them to do so. Like if someone's cool with this, and agrees with this, in my opinion, they have an empathy problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're saying, I'm going to go to a funeral where I'm going to meet women and I don't really care about who died. I don't really care about what anybody's going through. I want to focus on me getting a girl. And I also am going to degrade the girl in this imaginary scenario. So you're obviously down for misogyny. If you're like, oh, this is a fine thing to say. Shopping for a woman, fine thing to say. All of these things. It's like, if someone subscribes to that, you need to be worried about what their acceptance of this ideology says about their own beliefs and their own lack of empathy, morals, you know, just that kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Little small inconsequential things.
Yeah.
I think we covered that one.
Yeah, I think that's all I have to say about that funeral hopper.
Yeah. All right, before we go to another video, do you want to do a would you rather?
Oh, in the middle.
I think we'll try something out, but I'm like, okay. I'm playing with our programming here. Would you rather accidentally call your partner by your ex's name once or accidentally like your ex's social media page from 3 years ago?
Oh, God. For my wife, that would be really weird because I'd be calling her a man's name.
I guess, yeah. I guess for you, that would be. let's explore that, Reagan.
You know what? I would rather take the hit myself. I would rather like a post from 3 years ago than say that to my wife and have her have to deal with the psychological repercussions of hearing that. There was one time I was saying something about an ex and I was showing a picture. I love to tell a story and I love to have photo evidence, and somebody liked it and I was like, okay. That's going to be weird for them. I'm sure they got that notification. It was like a boyfriend from college. Mm-hmm. Oh, so shout out to that guy. Sorry about the notification you got. Was not talking about you. Don't worry.
I think I'm definitely with the social media one too, but only because I think especially because I don't anyone that's dated me for a foreseeable long amount of time knows how ADHD I am and how I could easily,
they're like, I'm surprised it took that
have
long.
Just been like because I've done that before too, like random. I've this is maybe opening up too much, but do you ever do that, like randomly somebody will like comment on your page and I'll click and you'll be like, I want to see who is this person, and then you end up
I do that sometimes. I'm like, who is this person? Or I'll be like, I'll think of somebody from my past. I'm like, what are they doing now?
Yeah. And then then you're back to looking at like their child that was born 6 years ago.
Congrats. She's 18.
I've done that before. And I don't know if they thought it was weird or not, but I've commented on old photos of a friend. I'm like, oh, this, I have something to say about this.
Oh, you know, if they know you at all, they're probably like, yep.
Yeah, so I guess that's my easy. All right, here's one that you can actually answer. Okay.
As opposed to before?
Before it was kind of weird. It was like, I guess you're right. Because of your circumstances, it would make it.
I would wound her so deeply by calling her. Yeah, that'd be weird. Yeah.
Matthew!
She would be like, what the fuck? Who?
Would you rather have to use only emojis to argue or only communicate through sticky notes during disagreements?
I love an emoji. I think I would do emojis because sticky notes, I can't even read my own handwriting. So I'd just be more frustrated.
So mad.
I'm like, and then I sit there like, what is this? Is this a picture of a bird?
And then you're like, what did you say? But you can't even say it.
No, you have to write more. Back saying,
what did you say? And you're like, oh, my God.
I'd be getting more mad. And also by whenever I get emotional, I think it's part of my anxiety. Like my hands, I've talked about this before. I have like a little tremor. Like I get like worked up. So then I can't write as well. I drop things the more upset I get. So it would just be like dropping pencils and papers and oh, God, pass. Emoji. I love a good emoji. I love them.
I guess if we're not including GIFs, then because that you can say a lot.
Really, that would really
a moving picture will say a lot. I'm gonna have to say sticky notes. here's why. I have two reasons. Okay, one is I think the act of getting so mad then pulling out a sticky note and writing would break the tension so quickly. And writing out like your whatever you're feeling on a sticky note would just immediately versus like the emoji. I think there's a lot of misinterpretations that could go on there. Like, what the do you mean by this emoji. Why are you using that?
But that's best. You could throw one in. They're like, ha, what does it mean?
And second,
a typewriter?
I'm reading too much of this also as a neurodivergent individual that doesn't like the needs to communicate effectively. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm like, no, I will write out a full long note explaining everything about how I feel. And then hopefully by the time I'm done, though, I'll have the time to calm down. And I'll be like, it's not worth it.
Never mind.
Not worth it. Maybe that's how all arguments should be had.
So many. Well, my wife and I don't argue that much, but so many of our arguments end with one of us smiling or laughing. Mm. And we're like, damn it. Because you're like, you get to point. Somebody does. I'm not saying who it is. I'm not definitely saying it's me. Somebody does something ridiculous where you're like, okay. Well, both one of us will be like, you want to stand by that? Are you happy with what you said? Because one of us will say something too extreme. We're like,
yeah.
No. So many times we're like, smart. We're like, oh, did you mean that one? Like, no.
I think the most stereotypical thing about my wife and I is probably how we argue.
Nice.
In the sense that, like, I do end up always apologizing, even if I am correct. And then a week later, I'll notice that she's doing the thing that we were arguing, like she's changed, or there's something like where it's this. This subtle acknowledgement that I was that it was actually correct. Now, here's the thing. I am wrong a lot. So this is not a common.
Don't I know it.
This is not me saying all the time, every time we get an argument, the next week she is no, but every once in a while. That's, so I've learned to like look at that as like a silent love language of saying, okay, I forgive you for being upset at me.
My dad used to do that. He used to, he wasn't an apology. He wouldn't do a big apology. All of a sudden, though, he'd just do something really nice really quickly after. Or I would notice him have done something really kind for me. And I was like, uh-oh, did you feel bad about something you did earlier, Dad? Now he does apologize, but that was back in the day. But it was so funny. I was like, uh-oh.
Yep, it's something's here.
My sister's so funny. She has like, she's a reverse. So she used to, when she'd get mad, she wouldn't retaliate till like a week later. So I would do something and then she'd hip check me when we were kids into a wall. And I was like, oh, I must've pissed her off a week ago. Like, it was always delayed every time. So funny. Cause she's so nice that I think it would take her a second to be like, actually, no, that was shitty what she did. It's like, yeah, at me, I'm like, I know immediately that I'm upset. And I'll tell you.
See, I feel like this is when I think back to like being a kid, how annoying I was. This is being, and I don't want to, I'm speaking about myself, but like being, I was not diagnosed with autism. And like a common trait, once again, not a diagnosis, is the need to be correct. Not about winning, but needing the information to be correct, right? And that is my, one of my more stereotypical traits is that I'm like, you need to know that you're wrong. Like, and I've gotten so much better at masking that and hiding that as an adult, but that's especially so when I was younger, it's so bad as an adult. And that's, I've gotten better at like picking and choosing where internally I'm like,
wrong.
You need this. Great example. My wife and I, this wasn't an argument between us, but she's telling me something and she mentioned a math equation in it. And the answer was wrong. And I was like, the answer was, it was 16. And she was like, what are you talking about? What? And she was like, I was like, oh no, but it was actually right. It was 16. And she was like,
that wasn't what I was
saying. Oh my God. And now we're in an argument. Like that's not what we're talking about. And it wasn't even about me. I was not in trouble. There was no argument happening. But she was like, why are you focused on that? I was like, well, because
it was wrong. I'm sorry.
I was just throwing out random numbers. That wasn't even the equation that was going. I was like, oh,
but it was wrong.
You wanted to know, it's actually 16.
I think the one that you and I have, and then we'll do the next story. Mm-hmm. The one that you and I both have so bad is thinking of a story or a fact when someone's talking. We both do it where I can see it in our eyes. I'm like, I gotta tell you this thing. I gotta tell you this one thing. This one fact. I have to tell you this one fact about this thing you said. Have you seen this?
Our eyes completely just glaze over. Like
it's like an
I'm like listening to about two-thirds of what you're saying
right
now.
I know, like, let me tell you about this 1967 film.
Because you're also waiting for your chance where it, like, won't feel awkward to insert that into there. Or the worst thing, though, is when we move on, though, because we do that a lot. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to do is say this thing.
That's why now we just go, I have to say this thing really quick, and then we'll move on. Okay.
And that's our friendship.
And that's our friendship. And that's on Friends. Do you have another thing that's not on Friends?
I do. I don't think so. I think this one will be a funnier conversation.
We'll see.
And I also have strong opinions about this. So it'll be, I think it'll be interesting. Because I'm going to critique these guys, but I'm actually don't think there, I think there's more to this discussion.
I love that you say, I'm not going to be mad. But the subtitle of said video is
never
ask a woman her opinion. So tell me again how I'm not about to.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's stuff, there's layers to discuss. You'll see what I'm saying. This is, it's making me sound bad until we listen to this.
Okay, we'll listen to it.
Yeah.
You hear women, they say, how much does a man need to make? And they're like, $1 million a year. They have to make minimum to date them.
Women have no clue what they want. They want a dad bod, but the dad bod's Jason Momoa. He's never asked a woman her opinion because she doesn't know what she's talking about. And they said, yeah, we like dad bods. We don't like bodybuilders. And then I turned to the woman. I said, so what do you think of me? She's like, yeah, you have a good dad bod. I'm like, I'm a professional bodybuilder. What are you talking about?
That was a rapid fire.
That's amazing. He's like got clearly burned and just is not understanding. Oh God. What are you talking about? I don't have a dad bod. I'm a bodybuilder. I'm like, you're beefy.
So much wrong with what they said. I want to be very clear. That the thing about the dad bod, though, I made a video about this before. And I do think the term dad bod has lost all meaning.
Truly.
Like there's, because the thing is, he probably is like a professional bodybuilder, I guarantee this guy's probably ripped, right? But he's a bulky ripped.
Yeah, he's bulky ripped, which you can't under shirts. It's like, you just look bulky.
People were saying that Wolverine or Hugh Jackman in the first X-Men had a dad bod, and that like Travis Kelce 2 weeks after the Super Bowl was on the beach and had a dad bod, and I'm like, hold on, I was like, we need to reestablish some things right here. This is not talking about guys that are in the prime of their fitness,
right?
Just aren't dehydrated and
roided. That's the thing. They're just not shredded. Like looked somewhat. He was muscular, but looked more normal in the first X-Men versus when he got like shredded and like didn't see bread for 8 years.
Right. And so there is this. And then I made a video about it and people were like, well, no, we mean dad bod as a compliment. And I was like, no, I get it. But when you're calling Hugh Jackman, ripped Wolverine Hugh Jackman, who just is not, like I said, is not in that full shredded mode, a dad bod, then that doesn't mean you like dad. I don't know what you like. That's just the bod. That is a fitness bod.
Yeah.
That is not in bodybuilding competition mode.
Right. Off season.
That is there. Yeah. So I was like, that, I think there is validity in that 1 ounce of the discussion here, and that the term has changed into something else. Because I also think there are plenty of women, I know for a fact, that don't use it that way. I think more women don't use dad bod in that way. But these guys want to focus in, and this is where the critique comes in. They want to focus in on that small subset that do say that Hugh Jackman has a dad bod, right? And say, like, this is what all women, they have unrealistic standards, and they think this way. It's like, no, buddy. You're just focusing in on, there is some problematic discourse there, and because the assumption is then that someone, even at peak fitness, anyone below that is just slovenly, right? It's problematic.
I think also this guy that's talking looks like he's in his 40s, and the girl he's talking to or woman he's talking to looks like she's in her 20s.
Yeah, there's
so she may be saying like, you look, you have an older physique, like dad bod, like so I think that's part of it too, is you're talking to someone who could be your daughter. So I could
and
see.
It's a nice way of being like, I don't want to be near you right now. You're not.
He's
my...
like, see, I'm a bodybuilder. It's like,
you have a nice body. You have that bod.
You know what? Take the burn.
I guess there are two. Maybe that is another interpretation. An elderly fit person.
Yeah.
Like an older fit guy, because you, in theory, but I think this is why it's an insult to them, though. is because the idea that they're old enough to look like a dad,
yes.
even though they're older than me.
Well, okay. So what about the idea that women won't even date a man unless he's making $1 million?
And now here's where we get to the crux of why I say this. Now I remember why I saved this video. Because, of course, the only thing that stuck in my head was...
Hey, now, we need to recategorize dad
bod. Hold on a second.
Speaking of, that's not right. Literally what you just talked about. That is not correct. The categorization of dad bod is bothering you because they're right. not using it correctly. Because
it's not in the... Yeah, there you go. So there's
so there it proof is.
Of my getting stuck on probably arguably the most inconsequential part of the video.
But dad bods, by definition...
Arguably the least important thing that comes up in that entire video, where they talk about women don't know what they want, that they you should never listen to women.
But dad bods, I don't know a single woman who says that. Like $1 million, like they're just ridiculous now. They're not even trying to sound realistic.
No.
Like
no.
That's the thing. It's like they'll bring up statistics, they'll throw out numbers that are so absurd. Like no. There are women out there who will only date millionaires, I'm sure. But like the odds of the everyday man coming across a woman, if he's not a millionaire already, that he would even be meeting her that would think that way.
Here's also what I realized at a big realization where these viewpoints these guys have is there was a video that it was like a teaching video, had nothing to do with this kind of stuff, that was showing how out of touch like high school students are about how much things cost, like rent and like grocery shopping and how much money different aspects of the world are. Like, oh yeah, I'd probably spend like what, like $50 a month on grocery, like, you know, kind of stuff where like numbers are so out of touch.
Yeah.
And I think you are more likely to hear like say an 18-year-old say, oh yeah, I'm gonna marry, he has to make at least $1 million a year,
sure.
or a 17-year-old, because because of this notion that, like, that when you're young, and I'm using this the money thing as a very specific example, but just in general, when you're younger, you've not lived in the real world really yet. Right?
Chesco, are you saying they're probably going after 18-year-olds?
Bingo. That's when you are continually prowling on girls that are straight, and I say girls in this instance, but like people that are either still in high school but legal or straight out of high school, you're going to have a skewed set of information of what you think all women
are so annoying in the way that you have to sneak them into bars. It's so much work for all every woman I date. I have to sneak her into a bar.
You know how women complain constantly about not knowing how to parallel park for their driver's test?
You know how women can't rent a car and it comes up when you're like trying to get them across state lines?
She's only using me because I don't have to pay the extra money for a rental car. But that's
I think you're right.
It's like a light bulb moment where I think a lot of these things stem from the fact that their entire worldview of what all women are like is not just any. It's the podcast bros interviewing 18-year-olds, selecting the ones that say the most outrageous answers and putting them online. These guys are like, well, that's the girl I want to date, and she's saying this. All
she
women
said
want
it
a
on
millionaire.
The Oh God. And then like Jason Momoa of dad bod, nobody's like, maybe that's the other thing is like, even when they're talking, like they're using a clip of Jason Momoa as Aquaman. Jason Momoa got shredded for that yet again. There are versions of Jason Momoa where he's not working out constantly that he probably looks more like your average dude, but I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him not pretty athletic looking, but there's probably versions of him where he looks a little more normal. And it's like, so there could be times that looks like a dad bod to somebody. I don't know, but definitely not the picture they're showing.
No, I think definitely also if you are a bodybuilder type too, when you have clothes on, sometimes you do look like you're bulkier. Like you don't know that it's muscle always. It actually,
that's what I mean,
it absolutely
with this guy.
Could be.
Like he looks like a dad bod because bodybuilders get really bloated, like bulky looking. When they do, if you put shirts on them, they do look like they have a dad bod because it is, it's like protruding out, like their muscles are sticking out. It's not like that shredded look.
Have you seen the meme, by the way? This is a complete side note.
What?
If you look at like the big, like super bulky bodybuilders, it looks like there's a small guy coming out
Yes!
of it. Yeah.
They're growing from their shoulders.
They're growing for the shoulders, and I can't unsee it. Now, every time I see one of those competitions, I just start giggling, and there's
Let him
no
out.
reason to be. He's wearing a meat suit.
Also, like the idea of never ask a woman her opinion.
Right. And
Oh,
that's
wait a
the
second.
real crux of all of this.
Women don't know what they want. Like, again, you can look at that at face value and it is horrifying of its own right by saying women know, like, women don't know what they want. They don't like have agency. They shouldn't make their own decisions. You can't trust them. But then you look at that as like in consent. Women don't know what they want. So if they say no, does that mean they don't know what they want? Or like when you keep going after a woman who's told you no, is that because they don't know what they want? Like there's, it's such a foul idea. Like it's the seed of some very dangerous things.
Once you accept the premise that you know better about what women want than they do, then you open yourself up to some really insidious stuff. And
A
you're
hundred
absolutely
percent.
not to, once again, this is a silly conversation we're having about this, but and we have to get serious about that because it is a serious thing and there's real harm that stems from, once again, this first step towards some really horrible stuff.
A hundred
There,
percent.
I need to send you real quick. There's a related video to this that's actually perfect that I didn't think about.
I have to be 100% honest. I am probably not the best co-host for talking about dad bods. That is not my area of expertise. It's not my cup of tea. But all men bods. Like not it's I'm not anti-dad bod, but I just don't want any of it.
No, this is then you're gonna hate this next video.
Oh,
But
great. I'm really happy for me.
I think I'm gonna show it to you because there's something I want to say, but I think it I want to reference this video and what I'm saying. I
I
know, I know.
I'm looking at a man with his shirt open.
But
I
just listen.
don't.
We have to play the conversation so the audio listeners can hear it, and then I want to talk about it relates to what we were just talking
This
about.
is two of the worst thumbnails you've ever sent me.
This is about listening to
Okay,
women.
okay, okay.
Do you think this is attractive as a female?
Abs?
Yeah.
No.
No? What do you think is like physically more appealing that you'd be like, I'd rather have my boyfriend look like a dad bod or a fit bod?
Probably a dad bod because like I'm not fucking ripped myself. I don't know.
What
I sit
the fuck?
down. Like I want them to kind of be like me. Like if they're ripped, like they probably work out. Look, you gotta like think of that about it like this. They work out, right? And they're ripped. Then they're fucking doing that all the time, and their personality is the fucking gym. Okay? Like I'm not like that. I don't go to the gym at all. So like I want someone who rather play a game than go to the gym.
I don't go to the gym all fucking day. I go in, I get out, I do other shit, I fuck around. I have a personality. I mean, hey, I just like flexing my abs from time to time. What's wrong with that? You get
You're
to enjoy
off
this in the
key.
bedroom, you can't go wrong with that,
Okay, then it sounds like you're a great catch.
Oh,
So she's awesome.
I need to befriend her.
Yeah, but like you see the thing is he's only heard from other men
Yes.
that this is all that women want. And so when a woman is honest with him, an actual woman seeing him face to face, like it's on like that one of those like chatting websites, whatever,
Yeah.
and is being, and you could tell she's not like being over the top. She's just being like, that's not my thing. He's like, what? You wouldn't want this?
It's also like you can tell how uncomfortable she is. I fucking hate, shocker, men. No, I'm just kidding. I fucking hate when creepy dudes like this set women up for uncomfortable situations. It fucking happens all the time. Half the time you see them doing shit like it's in public. They're putting them in bad positions. So this one, it's one of those, what do you call those? It's like
It's like
Omegle or something.
something like that.
Well, it's basically like
You chat with
randomly,
random people,
yeah, you
yeah.
just pop up with two people. And she's having a conversation with him, or I don't know how far in, and he immediately just pops open his shirt, which you can see from her, like if you're go to YouTube to really see it, but I'll try and describe it. There's an instant look of discomfort and being unsure because it is known on these that men will expose themselves. So here she is just trying to do this, and this guy's ripping open his shirt. Like, this is a bad situation for her. And again, she doesn't know where it's going. All she knows is this guy's ripped open his shirt. Now, what I also think is crazy is, one, setting her up for this. I don't know what he thought was going to happen. But two, having such a clear viewpoint when asking a question, then being furious when that person doesn't give you the answer you wanted. Rather than accepting, I'm asking a question and any answer can come my way. Like when she says she wants a dad bod, he's like, what? And you can tell he's offended. He's offended. So why did you ask?
Because he was expecting it to be like, oh yeah, I want that.
Ooh, random man.
And it's not even like she just says, I don't like it. She explains. She was like, that's not the lifestyle.
100%. And I have had this conversation many times. When you look at like fitness, so much of it is not about the actual physique, but rather the lifestyle. To look shredded all the time. Like I've known women who were bodybuilders. And it's like, of course there's seasons where they're much more intense, like diet wise. There were times where she was cutting that like she couldn't eat anything. But she, in general, like lived an incredibly healthy lifestyle. She went to the gym regularly, and especially when she's the months before a competition, you know, she was would be insane in the gym. She was always on some kind of healthy diet, and then it just got more restrictive when she was trying to cut or whatever. So yeah, like sometimes it really is like maybe a fit body looks great, but like, that is a huge portion of your life. And like, if you're not into fitness as well, you're not going to be seeing each other and you're going to have conflict based on like, what can we eat and where can we go? And like, it is how you live your life. It's not just how you look.
It's because they don't understand the idea of seeking out somebody that shares your interest. They seek out, not all men, right? They're seeking out.
Thank you, Chesco. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. These types of guys are seeking out it's the idea of the woman they want, or the shell of the woman they want, and all that other stuff. Because you saw immediately when she said, well, I don't want someone that spends that much time, he abandons everything that probably he likes.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's no doubt. And there's nothing wrong. If you love the gym, I have several good friends love the gym.
Like they love the gym. If I could.
It's hard.
I'm a parent now.
But I have close friends that are fully like, I have a friend that does bodybuilding competitions. Like they're good people. That does not make you a bad person, right?
No. But
they are not going to be, if I was a single man, knowing full, and this is, I used to work out a lot, but not that, like that wasn't my lifestyle. I didn't seek out and look for someone who did that lifestyle because I knew we weren't going to be happy together. I knew that wasn't going to be the thing that brought us joy as a couple together.
Well, and here's the other thing is these men are so misogynistic. I definitely think this guy is the way he responded to her. And just like flashing someone like that, like you clearly have no idea how women feel about life. If you think that's a good idea. Again, she does not know that's all you're going to do, right? They're so misogynistic that they don't even think about that their lifestyle might have to change if they aren't paired with someone who's about the gym life. Like,
his lifestyle won't change.
It wouldn't change. No, it wouldn't. Yeah. You'd do and the same it. Shit. And she would just have to put up with it. So it's like, the fact that he's like, I'm in and I'm out. No, you're not.
You do not get cut that way. Like, a full six-pack abs is it's a lot, and like
it's,
I said,
diet
nothing
too.
Wrong with it. It's diet, it's exercise, it's a whole bunch of stuff,
right,
that's wonderful for people that want to pursue that, but it pretending abandoning and pretending like no, I don't, there's nothing, it's just I'm in and I'm out there for an hour a day. No you are not Yeah,
it's so strange too, because he's got his face, he's got like growing out on his face, and he clearly shaves his entire chest.
This is
more important. You can tell where importance is to him. He's not shaving his face, but he has made sure that body is clean. Well, he probably shaved right before he was flashing people, to be honest.
Right. It's true. But I think it also leads directly into, once again, he doesn't see it as that much. And this is actually more of an explanation, I think, for why you see so many of these men that leave their wives after they have children. Because their bodies, quote unquote, they've put, like that one video I've responded to before, letting themselves go, or that they've gained weight, or that they're not have a full six pack abs anymore. He's like, well, I didn't have to change. I still maintain this body because I don't understand why you can't either. It's not that much because they're not acknowledging all the work that does go yes. into it. And that when you're adding on a family and marriage and taking care of a grown man baby as a husband, then you do not have that little time that feels like nothing to you because that's all you do.
Yeah.
Right. Is going to affect the way that the person you're with is it quote unquote looks. Right. And so they'll still have that same expectation and that same judgment of them for not holding it up because they do not understand it. They won't even acknowledge that it does take work
yeah.
that goes into that.
Usually not both people can do that. It's very rare as a parent that like both people's fitness can get taken care of to mm-hmm. the degree that they both want. Like right. these guys are going to an outside gym. Usually they're, you know, mm-hmm. they're buying all this other stuff for the gym. It's like a lot of moms that I know, for example, like work out at home, you know, mm-hmm. they're not going to the gym. It's like usually women are having to like shove their workout routine if they can even fit one in. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, it's the same. And also if you've been chasing after children all day, the exhaustion you feel mm-hmm. a lot of times is just like, I do not have the energy. Like I would like to just sit down in a quiet room for 20 mm-hmm. minutes, you know, mm-hmm. and they're like, well, I make time to work out. I'm like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Also, this dude has so many videos of him going around shirtless and interviewing women on the street. Like I said, what did I? I know these men. It's horrible. Why do I know them? But like, that's it. It's this this need to like put women in uncomfortable situations.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy putting. Not only just putting them in uncomfortable situations, but setting them up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was trying to make her look bad, like she's being a jerk. He edited it mm-hmm. to make her look like she's being rude,
right?
Which she wasn't. So they want them to look bad and in the end to look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see in these interviews. They'll find women who are blackout drunk.
Mm-hmm.
They'll trick them into they'll ask them questions they're not prepared for. Like they will purposely make women look as bad as they can. And men who like doing that for fun and engagement mm-hmm. online are not usually good men. Shocker. Mm-hmm.
They, I remember there was somebody could not believe that I had ever dated someone attractive. It was going back like because I mentioned that I've never been like a fitness guy. He was like, well, then you've clearly never dated anyone. I was like, well, my ex was like literally the captain of a Division I basketball team.
You're supposed to be like, your wife is stunning, but I guess he probably hasn't seen that. She's private.
Right. I don't bring her and showcase her online.
I for sure get it. You won't see mine either.
The idea that anybody, it was like, well, nobody that was fit would ever be into you. I was like, you don't have to.
What does that mean?
It's this whole, it's this weird thing. Like I've dated throughout my life, you know, pre my amazing, beautiful, gorgeous wife. Right. But that is not, I was like, I want to be clear. I feel like you know, but that's not the reason I'm with her also, though. That's not like
brought me. It's a factor, surely.
But I've dated women of different sizes, different races, different levels of conventional attractiveness there was not like, if you were to look at every single, there's not like one type that I was like, that I was with. But the idea, though, that someone who was conventionally attractive could have been attracted to me, even though I didn't have like a six pack to them is the most unheard of thing in the world. Because if they admit it, though, then they have to admit that all of this time they've spent devoting and making their entire personality that may not have been the only thing they should have been working on.
100%. I think it adds to a lot of these men being miserable because not all people feel better. Like working out makes me feel better, but like mm-hmm. you're to get those abs, like you have to be on a restricted diet that can make mm-hmm. people less happy. Right. And you mm-hmm. have to dedicate a lot of time. And if your sole purpose in that is getting women, the sole reason you're putting yourself through that kind of abuse, because I mean, at some point to get that shredded, you're putting your body through some turmoil there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the only prize at the end of that is to get with a woman, and then like you're not getting women, like I'm sure that is upsetting, like mm-hmm. but then again, why is that their sole reason for doing it? And also like, how does that then turn into hating women? That's where mm-hmm. we're getting lost there, like mm-hmm. if you should be doing it for yourself. Like I don't think it's ever really fulfilling anything like physical if you're not doing fitness wise, if you're not doing it for yourself. I think I dated one guy with a six pack.
Mm-hmm.
He was also like 5'6", so he didn't have much room to, but he was like did flips and shit. I don't know. Anyways, but then I ended up working out like a psychopath because I was so like, oh shit. I felt like I had to match him and he was into it. So then I was like, I guess I'll be on the treadmill, I guess.
This is my life now.
I definitely, was I in good shape? Yes.
Yeah.
Was I happy? No, I was not. Because I was also doing it for the wrong reason. Because I was feeling pressured to fit
I think, and this is a longer conversation, but the misconception in our society that the only way to be healthy is to be thin.
Right.
It's that there's more, like I am no one, the only way to describe me is as a chubby guy, right? I am not a thin guy, right? Sure. But I, you know, across the board, and I know this extensively because I had that surgery last year, like all of my health, you know, levels are prime there. I have great blood pressure. I have low cholesterol. I have, you know, all of the triglycerides. Like I eat healthy. I just eat a lot of healthy. And I exercise 5-6 times a week, but it's, you can still, you know, have a healthy life and have a healthy body and not look like, you know, like that. You can still look like me.
Well, and also like, I know people who gained weight to be healthy, like had to put on, I've known a lot of people with eating disorders. So I also know how many skinny people who people say are quote unquote healthy are not.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just doesn't have anything to do with anything. And it's so frustrating. And we put, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into the soapbox, but even the morality we put on weight just makes me want to scream.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of this stems from these men, to your point, wanting an easy answer and fixating and clinging to this solution for why they can't get women, which is very complex for every individual. You can't say, well, it's A, B, and C, and that's it, even though I don't know you. Like, it's always, you know, a mix of things, as is with anybody. Like, we're all working on different things that interact and, you know, intertwine with each other in social settings that we have to work on. But they want that easy answer. And so they decide that it's A, B, and C. Like I said, I just have to get abs, get a high paying job and be an asshole and I'll get all women because then I can focus my energy on that. And then the second that's not true, they're really falling apart here and they're blaming women for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I had an easy answer before you took that from me. Well, guess what? The easy answer is that women suck. And that's what we see from them. It's because they're so desperate for control over their situation that they just translate it from one into the other. Like, oh, this didn't work. Well, now it's women's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I'll control them.
Yeah. Cause it goes back to what we said before is like, they made a list of all the things women want that without consulting women.
Women were not in the room. They're like, get out of here.
Why is this such a long list of things? None of this is on my list.
Literally, they say you can't trust women's opinions. Like, there were no women in the room when you decided what women want. How historically accurate to what has gone on?
And it's always these like 40 middle-aged guys that are still single
with 18-year-olds, right?
With they're like not in happy long-term relationships that are selling it as like, we know what women want.
We single guys from our mother's 80-year-old mother's basement still.
Why does my girlfriend keep cheating on me?
I treat her like she's an object.
I'm an asshole.
God. But yeah, I think that's it. And it's like,
As
your resident lesbian here, as the what my wife calls it something. Oh shit! Oh, the lesbian representative. I just can't imagine not listening to women ever, but also in the sense of if you want one so bad, like the ways that they attack women for every opinion, every viewpoint, wanting to join the conversation about them. Like you're asking, talking about what women want. And if women start to tell you, you attack them. Like, it mm-hmm. happens to me all the time online. And it's like, I just can't imagine, like, in any other setting, like say you were like a salesman or something, and all the buyers were outside, and you're mm-hmm. like, God, what did they want? What did they want? And you're just yelling out, like, they want it to taste like poison and smell like feet. And then the people, like, the customer's like, no, please, we just want cherry flavored, you know? Mm-hmm. And just completely disregarding your customer base and being like, oh, well. Well, I guess they just suck. We're making the perfect product, so I don't know mm-hmm. what their problem is. It's just so wild to me that they refuse to accept any feedback. Because, like, women are telling you. I'm mm-hmm. there. I'm there for these conversations. And, like, you could be less miserable. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you listened and had empathy.
They don't see the correlation between, and the correlation is not a causation. I know that, I realize that, but they don't, there's such a clear correlation between the rise of this toxic alpha male, high value male culture online. And shockingly, as the male loneliness epidemic rises, you know, and they, what they'll say is, oh no, we are a response to that. But that is absolutely not the case. It is very clearly causing, and it's there, and it's because they are targeting young men and throwing them when these young guys don't know better, don't know who to take for advice. They're looking for someone that can guide them to looking for these things. And they always, if you watch these guys and watch enough of them, and God knows I've watched too many of their videos and too many of the things they put out there, they always frame it as, here's how to find a relationship. Right. And so you have these young guys, when they're teaching you pickup tricks to, for one night stands, for hookups, for, to trick somebody into short term flings. Right. But they frame it as relationship because you have these young boys that are desperate and seeking out, I want a relationship one day. I want a girlfriend. I want to get married. I want to find someone who loves me. And so they're taking this advice, and then they end up being in these really bad situations because they end up getting cheated on because they're treating their partner terrible, or they end up being with someone who only wants to be with them short term because they don't know who this person is that they're with. And then all of a sudden they start feeding into it, and then they don't know how to act otherwise, and they turn into these same alpha dudes that are ruining these guys. It is a problem, but it's not something that's going to be solved by repeating the same lines that they are.
Well, and that's the thing is, I think I've said before, I have a problem with the term loneliness mm-hmm. epidemic, because, like, so many things. One, epidemic makes it sound like it's coming from nowhere, right, when there's actually right. very clear, like, mm-hmm. how it was going. Like, we could see it happening, and it didn't spring from nowhere. It's actually a consequence of other things and other behaviors. The thing about this is, I think it's more of a, like, a hate epidemic and an entitlement epidemic, because loneliness is a problem. It's a genuine concern. I think across the board, people are lonely right now, and there's a lot of factors to that. Mm-hmm. But when we see the serious repercussions of this is, it's not solely in men being lonely, but in the actions that they then take due to said loneliness and the blame mm-hmm. they place for said loneliness. They mm-hmm. are blaming women. They are mm-hmm. saying it's women's fault. I mm-hmm. probably daily see videos from men, just like we saw Scott Galloway recently, being like, well, I'm not saying women should settle, but
I'm absolutely saying that they should settle.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's because you're saying the solution to the problem mm-hmm. is women need to just date down. Women need to mm-hmm. have lower expectations. Women need to date men that they basically aren't attracted to. Right. That's mm-hmm. what we're saying, that they don't want. Yeah. Because we're saying that the solution is women, and therefore, then what is the blame? If mm-hmm. women have to change to solve it, mm-hmm. then who is causing the problem? I think the subtext of that is women's behavior is the cause. And it's the entitlement to women and believing it's our fault that causes that hate, because they think, well, I'm lonely. It can't possibly be societal factors. It can't possibly be late stage capitalism. It can't possibly be that I don't know how to make friends because I haven't been, you know, raised in a way that, and society hasn't, like, taught me mm-hmm. how, as a man, to have deep, intimate relationships with people outside of romantic relationships. It's none of that. It's women mm-hmm. and it's women's mm-hmm. fault. And so because I'm entitled, I am angry. You cannot be angry unless you felt you should have had it in the first place.
And that's a mic drop moment for you, because as I always say, you have the best lines from the show. Thanks for making me look like your lowly co-host. I'm just
kidding. Where's your little hands? Get your hands out. That's your contribution. They're clapping for you. The tiniest claps. Yeah, no, I just think it's frustrating when they aren't looking at the intersectionality of all the factors that go into this quote unquote epidemic. And it's a disservice, and it's dishonest to what's actually happening, and it really disregards the suffering of women. Like, look at the statistics, like at the hands of said loneliness epidemic, right? Like when they're linking acts of egregious violence to this epidemic, it's like, all right, so it ends in men harming women, and we're saying women should be harmed to solve it. Women need to put themselves in dangerous situations. Throughout history, that has never worked. When women had the least amount of rights and could not speak for themselves, they were oppressed even more. So,
and it goes back to what we were talking about in the pre-show. And I was like, it's the reason these guys are so popular is because there is there is nuance, and there is depth, and there's interconnectedness, and there's intersectionality like you talked about. And there's so much more that goes into this, but that isn't as flashy as an easy answer in a TikTok clip, right?
That
there's
doesn't more sell. To it. That's not a hook.
That isn't, no, but it's like, if I'm angry and upset about something, I want an easy answer that will solve all my problems. And that's what I'm going to make my personality, as opposed to understanding that there is more to all of these conversations that even what we're talking about, or that what anybody is talking about, right? There is so many levels that want to go into that you can't just solve it by doing this one thing, or following this one playbook, or following this one rule that only I can do that will make you happy again. No, we have to accept that there's more to it than a simple conversation, a single podcast episode, a single TikTok clip. But nobody wants to do that, because that takes work, that takes effort, and it also takes interest in introspection and reflection, which is a very scary thing, because that's also taught to not be a manly thing in our society to do, is to look inward and admit that you might have faults, and admit that you have things you need to work on that are not simply hitting the gym more and making more money.
Damn. That's a mic drop. Look at that. Boom. See?
I did it. I added my own. Doubles.
Doubles. All right, friends. Well, that's all we have for today. Got serious here at the end. But thank you so much for listening. As we've mentioned, we have our pre-show. Make sure to check that out on our Patreon. It's unhinged, but it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed we'll see you there.
He's holding up a tiny hand. That's fingers are crossed.
This is the best audio podcast ever.
All right. Bye, friends.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try MEOW. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens. Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.